Fatima, where heaven and earth have met. Since the day our Blessed Mother visited her cousin Elizabeth, she has never stopped visiting her people and care for them in time of need, reminding them of the gospel of her son. This happened in Guadalupe, Mexico, and then in Lourdes, France. Let us now hear what was the purpose and message of her visitation in Fatima on every 13th of the month from May to October in 1917. Here now is the director of Radio Maria Canada, Father George Amaro.
Welcome, brothers and sisters, to this new program about Fatima. And we are in episode 60. We just spoke about we are speaking about the kids, the three kids to whom our Blessed Mother appeared. And we said that differently from other apparitions, Our Blessed Mother in Fatima appeared to three kids, not to just one, like in Lourdes, Bernadette, and Juan Diego in Mexico, Guadalupe. And that these three kids represent the humanity, the number three, yes, Mongoloid, Caucasoid, and Negroid. Those are the ethnic groups that compose all humanity, everyone being Negroid before and becoming Caucasoid as humans immigrate, the Homo sapiens immigrate to Europe, and becoming Mongoloid as the Homo sapiens immigrated to Asia, China, Mongolia, and all those places. But they also represent the three main centers of psychology, the three main personalities. That's an old psychology, probably long before, but still an outstanding one before Freud, that are three people, three characters, cerebral or mental, emotional or sentimental or instinctive or gut people. So these are the three characters we've been speaking about. And we have said that the three kids, each one providentially belongs to one of these characters. And we said that Lucia, the one that we will be speaking last, because she was the one who stayed behind. Lucia is the cerebral or the mental, because she was the evangelizer of Fatima, she was the writer of Fatima, and she was the only one that spoke to our Blessed Mother. The other two never addressed our Blessed Mother or were addressed by our Blessed Mother. So this is one. This is the cerebral, and then we have Francisco is the one we spoke about already before, is the instinct, the gut person, and Jacinta, whom we are going to speak now, is the emotional one. But before, as I did with Francisco, before we go on to give a little biography of Jacinta, I need to explain to you what the emotional people are, the sentimental people are. So the emotional people they function from the limbic brain, so the mammal brain. Remember also that somehow these three personalities, they have a base, they have a home or a hall these three personalities, and so the instinctive personality would be the reptile brain, the emotional personality would be the limbic or the mammal brain, and the cerebral or mental would be the neocortex brain. Of course, also we have said that we all have the three centers, but we function mainly from one. So using the genetic laws on this case, so each one of us is as one as predominant and the other as secondary or recessive, and the third one almost non-existent, that would be the third one, but still exists, but less important of the three. Now, emotional people, they consider themselves more humane than the cerebrals, whom they despairingly label as intellectuals, cold and distant. And so that's the way emotional people see the other two people. So for the brainy people, they say that they are cold and distant, they are intellectuals, they are boring somehow, sometimes they are a bit boring. And about the instinct, they say that they are subhuman, they are less human, and they are cruel sometimes, and so that's the way they see, brute, not refined. That's the way the emotional people look at the other centers. The emotional people are proudly thinking that they are the only ones who are authentically human. Only they are able to truly feel, and that no one understands them. That's another trait of the emotional people, is that nobody understands them, because it is true, you know, two people cannot feel the same feeling. So we never know the depth of the feelings that these people have. To live is to love, they would say rightly, and whoever doesn't love doesn't know what life is, and doesn't even know, as St. John would say, the one who doesn't love doesn't know God, because God is love. Well, a rational person would ask, why do I live? So the reason why I live looks for the reason, for the motivation. An emotional person would find it more important to answer the question, for whom do I live? And probably the instinctive person doesn't ask much about what's the meaning of life, just lives it. He is inside himself, just lives, he doesn't question these things. He is alive, that's all that matters. And so he is alive and he finds the meaning, and the meaning will be found, for sure. The meaning will be found. Instinctive people, they know everything by instinct. And so just now it came to my mind that now probably we have more mindy people nowadays. I knew from the age of 6 what I wanted to do with my life. So from the age of 6, I want to be what I am now. And so I knew it right from the beginning. Never doubt. Yeah, well, I could doubt, but there was never an alternative that would appeal to me. But nowadays people, maybe they are more brainy, they reach the age of 20, 30, and even more. They still don't know what to do with their lives. I guess an instinctive person always knows what to do with his life. Always knows by instinct, not because the brainy people are full of doubts. They They think about it and then rethink about it and never come up with a decision. That's brainy people. And when I speak to you about Lucia, there is an episode about Lucia that she is full of doubts. She's full of doubts. But that doesn't happen to emotional people. Even emotional people don't doubt. They follow their emotions, and instinctive people, they follow their gut feeling, and they are always right because they follow their gut feeling. So this is how our emotional people are. Their intelligence predominates, are more focused in the relationships they establish with the people. They are more focusing in establishing relationships, everything. So that's the main thing for them, because that's where your feelings come. Making these the center of their lives. Relationships are the center of their lives. Therefore, when conflicts arise in this area, nothing is more important than the resolution of these conflicts. Emotional people tend to worry about their self-image because they want other people's approval, avoid criticism, and show others that they are special. Now, coming into a meeting, if you come into a meeting at the doorstep, the brainy people, they will ask, what is this meeting all about? That's what they ask. What is this meeting all about? The instinctive person comes in and says, who has the power? Who is the leader here? So he wants to see where the power is. More important than what the thing is about is where the power is. And the emotional person, he comes in, forgets about where the power is, forgets about what the theme or the subject is for the meeting. The most important thing is, are they going to like me or not? Am I going to like them or not? Am I in a good shape? I am presentable or not? So those are the questions that an emotional person, you know, of course it's not just like that, but deep down, that's what it is, unconscious, because these things happen mostly in an unconscious way. Deep down, that's what these three people would be concerned about in coming into a meeting with other people. In Rosenberg's Nonviolent Communication, maybe one day I'll tell you at length about this theory. Rosenberg is Marshall Rosenberg, is a Jewish psychotherapist. He passed away already some time ago. But he came up with nonviolent communication, all a theory and a technique how to communicate between people in a nonviolent way. Because even when you think you are not being violent, you are being violent. There are certain words that you use, the way you use them, the tone of voice, and you can be violent even when you don't think you are being violent. So he says about emotions, the emotions are positive or negative. You divide all your emotions. And he also says that we are emotionally illiterate. For certainly those, the emotional people, are emotional literate. They know how to read and to write emotions. But most of the cerebral people and instinct people, we are illiterate. As a matter of fact, if you want to know if you are illiterate emotionally, write down how many emotions do you know. And you will see that you don't know many emotions. You don't know many. Most of us know with four or five words, that's the emotions that we know. And because when they ask you, how are you? I'm fine. And fine, being fine is not an emotion. But people think that it is an emotion. It's not an emotion. So, and emotions, so they are positive or negative, and they relate to the needs. You see, human needs are the same. They never change throughout history, from generation to generation, from one century to another. They don't follow the fashion, and they don't change from culture to culture. We have the same, because the emotions and needs, they define human nature, and human nature never changes. Never changes in time and never changes in space. That means from culture to culture or from civilization to civilization. The emotions, human emotions and human needs, they have been the same in the last thousands and millions of years. They will be the same in the next millions of years if we are still here. So because they pertain to the human nature, so there is a relationship between emotions and needs. The relationship is that the emotions are messages that come into your conscious that relate, I need this or I need that. Emotions are that, just that. I'm feeling cold, that's an emotion. It's not a feeling, it's an emotion. It means because my temperature is going down, and so get something, do something, because our temperature cannot go below the 36, 37 degrees. So feelings related to emotions. I'm angry. And if I am angry, it's because one need is not being met. One of my needs is not being met. I feel lonely. Well, it's because one of my needs is not being met. So emotions relate to needs. And before we continue, let us make now a pause and we come back later.
Thank you.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. And so we were saying that that in nonviolent communication we have these needs and emotions, so that you can situate the emotions in our psychism, and they relate to needs. And so, in other hands, it's true that human life has its up and downs, and emotional people, sometimes they look like they live in a roller coaster, and they function more with the heart than with the brains, and that that can be exactly a roller coaster, which is somehow how life it is for all of us. Usually I tend to say that the electrocardiogram or the electroencephalogram, they indicate that the person, they are a graphic or a parable of what life is, ups and downs of life, we all say about it, ups and downs of life. They indicate that the person is alive by graphically showing lines with ups and downs. If either imaging begins to show less heights and less lows, this indicates that life is fading away, and the flat line without oscillations signals that life is no more, both in the brain and in the heart. So this is how it is in our physical life. And somehow this is also the way of the emotional life. However, if the emotional part does not achieve certain constancy and self-control, life of a person of these people can be like a hell. And there is also a disease concerned with these ups and downs of life, the maniac. Depressive maniac, I think it's the name. These people that at one time they are very enthusiastic about life, and the following minute they are very depressed. And this, if this happens too often and too soon from one emotion to the other, then it means that the person is sick. All of us have ups and downs, but the in the ups, we don't lose our head, and in the downs, we don't desperate, because we know somehow that they are temporary, they will pass. The constancy is the thoughtful middle ground between the ups and downs, and will allow the emotional person not to lose his head when he is euphoric, and when everything seems to be going well, and not to despair when he is at rock bottom, when everything seems to be going wrong. Emotional people must learn soulfully, and not only intellectually, they must learn deep down what the proverb says, that there is no evil that lasts forever, nor good that never ends. Life can be heaven or hell, but neither is here to stay permanently. They are only temporary. Hell or eternal life or heaven, those are eternal things. But in life, sometimes you might experience similar things like heaven and earth, but heaven and hell, but they are temporary. Sentimental people need the intellect to master their emotions and not let themselves to be controlled by them. Emotions say more about us, about our identity, than thoughts, that's true. Emotions say much more about our identity than our thoughts. Thoughts can be copied, emotions cannot be copied. You cannot copy. If one is sad, I cannot copy your sadness. I cannot feel your sadness. But thoughts, yes, I can copy. Thoughts, you don't need to put copyrights in emotions, because They cannot be copied. They cannot be felt. But thoughts, yes. I can think what you are thinking. That's a different thing. But they say more. So they say more about our identity than thoughts. But they should not govern our lives. Emotions should not govern our lives. Nobody is responsible for what they feel or we do. So emotions in this way, they are like thoughts. You know, some people confess about being angry. You don't need to confess when you feel angry. Because that's not a sin, that's an emotion, and the emotions are natural. There are some negative emotions and positive emotions. They are natural. You are not, and you are not responsible for feeling angry. You are responsible for your actions, not for your feelings, because the feelings come to you. They spring up from you without you knowing. You cannot command your feelings. You cannot say early in the morning, today I'm going to be happy. Well, you can do things towards happiness and feel it, but it doesn't depend on you directly. I'm going to feel joyful. Okay. Today I'm going to feel sad. You don't command your emotions. They just come up. The emotions are somehow free. They free from your command. They come up within you. You feel them. The same thing, thoughts. You know, people also confess about having bad thoughts, thinking badly about somebody. That's, you know, when it comes to your mind, it's not yet a sin. It may become a sin. It may become a sin much later on. If you entertain that thought, and if that thought becomes a project, and emotions too, like anger, the one that we mentioned, it's not yet a sin. But if anger turns into resentment, why? What is resentment? Is entertaining anger. Entertaining anger then becomes a resentment. If you entertain anger, then yes. Becoming a resentment about somebody or even about something, then it might turn into a sin. But by itself, as they come into our conscious, they are not sins yet, because we are not responsible for our thoughts or responsible for our feelings. Because they have a mind of their own. They come when they come. You don't command them to come, and you don't command them to avoid them coming. They come, and then deal with me. They come, or deal with me. That's the way you deal with them. That might be a sin. So we are not responsible for our thoughts or emotions, but we are responsible for what we do with them. They show us the path to follow, or the path not to follow. But it is our responsibility, our intellect, that decides whether or not to take that path. If that path is common sense, if it is good, if it is adequate, then you follow it. So. Purely emotional decisions often mislead the person. We should not decide on anything under the influence of such strong emotions as love, rage, resentment. You know, even love, you should not decide to marry somebody just because you love that person. Because you might be fooled, and remember that sometimes love is blind. Because you feel attracted, because you feel in romantic love with somebody that you don't see bad traits in that person, and then to marry somebody is based on love, but not only on love. You should base it something in other things too. Of course, that's the main thing. You are not going to marry somebody whom you don't love, but love is the first. But then look at other things. things that might make that love grow or decrease and even erase it. Some traits in that other in the person's personality. So it's not by emotions. You never decide anything on emotions, not even marriage on love. You have to see other things. And when you are in an emotional state, the person's reason is nullified. That's why love is blind, they say, because when you are completely in love with somebody, infatuated with a person, you don't see the negative things of that person, but they are there, and then when that infatuation goes away, the negative things come up, and then probably it is too late because you have already decided. So to be under an emotional state is like to be drunken. And when a person is drunken, he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know what to say. And so you better don't decide any big things whilst you are in this condition. So to be emotional, to be in an emotional state, whether love or anger or whatever, it's not a good time to decide. Let all this clear out, and then your decision will be more adequate, more aware of the situation. Look at the parable of the prodigal son in Luke 15:11-32 alludes precisely to this situation of making rash decisions under the influence of some passion. Everything that the prodigal son did, from asking his father for the inheritance to wasting it all away, was done unconsciously under the control of one or more strong emotions. When he came to his senses, he became aware of this situation. He became into his senses after doing all the wrong things. So don't decide under emotion. He probably was greedy. He wanted greedy and wanted to have amusement. And then, he paid the price. Emotional people are highly sensitive people. According to studies, 1 in 5 persons, or between 15 and 20% of the population, are sensitive or emotional people. Although in the Western world it is culturally considered that women are more emotional than men, in reality this does not seem to be the case. There are equal numbers of emotional men and emotional women, despite the difference in their upbringing. It's probably the upbringing that is different. Your parents, unconsciously, they raise up a male kid in a different way that they raise up a female kid. So, because culturally, women are supposed to be more emotional and less brainy and less instinctive, but that is not always the case. Emotional people are more empathetic people because they understand their inner world well, and because they are highly sensitive, they easily put themselves in the other's shoes and can see and feel things from their point of view. Empathy is one of the most important qualities of human beings. Without it, it's like being merciful in one of the Beatitudes, is being merciful. Empathy is being merciful towards the misery of other people. Without it, there would be no possibility of understanding between humans without empathy. But I would say that the ones that are more prone to be empathic are the emotional people. They are certainly more intuitive than the cerebrals because their center, their limbic brain, communicates with the reptilian brain. Anatomically, it is directly on top of it. Phylogenetically, Emotion is closer to instinct than it is to thought. So the emotional people probably are a little bit more towards their second center would be the instinct, and the third would be the thought. Their intuition is used for social relations, so they can be also intuitive, but their intuition is used for social relations, not for science or discovery, for the world of the ideas. Being highly sensitive doesn't always work in their favor, however. In fact, they are also sensitive to criticism and have little capacity to withstand it and continue to function. For example, the instinctive that have the attitude of dogs bark and the caravan passes. That is instinctive people. They couldn't care less about what other people think about them. They are not influenced by other people. Instead, the sensitive people, yeah, they do care about what the other people think about them. They want to be popular. So if they want to be popular and accepted in a group, they somehow have to conform to the rules of that group. Not instinctive people. The instinctive people, here I am, deal with me, whether you like it or not, that's the way I am, and that's the way I'm going to be. This is instinctive people. But emotional people know they tend to conform with others because they want to be liked by other people. They are intense people who live their passions with vigor. This is why they are more susceptible to anxiety and depression, as we have already mentioned. On the other hand, of the three personality types that are the ones who work best in teams, because in discussions or dialogues, they prefer to lose the argument than to lose the person. They accommodate with the other people. They are the most sociable and the most altruistic people. Okay, so this is it. This is about the emotional people. Now, next time, having this in mind, we will do a small biography of Jacinta, as we did with Francisco.
You have been listening to Fatima, Where Heaven and Earth Have Met, with Father George Amaro. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that this program is an encouragement to you. Please join us here on Radio Maria Canada, where Father George Amaro will continue his teaching about our Blessed Mother and the significance of Fatima.